The scripture for this afternoon is from Exodus chapter 20. We're at the fourth commandment as we work our way through the Heidelberg. And so the fourth commandment is included in the Ten Commandments. So I thought we'd use that as our scripture for this afternoon. Exodus 20, the first 17 verses. Either just listen or read along to this portion of God's Word. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the hand of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. As we're working our way through the Heidelberg, we come to the fourth commandment, and I'm not actually going to use any of the Heidelberg this morning. You're probably kind of used to that at this point. But we will be looking at the Sabbath, taking a brief look at three elements of the Sabbath. First, the establishment of the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Second, the continuation of the Sabbath into the New Testament, although the day itself has changed to the first day of the week. And third, how we might keep it holy. First, the establishment of the Sabbath in the Old Testament. The scripture is quite clear that from the creation until the early days of the New Testament church, the Sabbath was the seventh day, or what we would refer to as Saturday in our culture. Moses tells us in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, by the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This also tells us that the Sabbath was established before the law of Moses, or any other law of God was established. It is a creation ordinance, and it is a pattern from the very beginning. In fact, before the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus 20, the existence and observance of the Sabbath was assumed in how God gave instructions concerning manna collection in Exodus chapter 16. There we read, they gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it would melt. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. Moses said, 6 days you shall gather it, but the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. And so the Sabbath, the creation ordinance, exists even before the establishment of the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. When the Ten Commandments were given, the Sabbath is given there as the fourth commandment, which we just looked at. Notice that the command is tied even there to creation. God rested on the seventh day and made it holy, and we are to recognize this and to keep it holy in our lives. In the Old Testament law, there were many specific instructions regarding the Sabbath, but none more important than the gathering together of God's people. Even back then, when worship was centered around the temple in Jerusalem and the sacrifices there and the festival times, people would gather wherever they were in their various towns and cities for the singing of psalms and the hearing of the word read and preached, a holy convocation. It's described in the scripture, Leviticus 23:3. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy assembly or convocation, depending upon your translation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, the word synagogue literally means assembly or a bringing together. And it was the assembling of God's people in their various towns for this holy assembly on the Lord's day. The Sabbath day was set aside for rest and for worship. Second New Testament movement. The fourth commandment was not abolished in the New Testament. Jesus says in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." The Sabbath still exists, and it points us to the rest that we have in Christ, as well as His promised return. In Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10, we're told, "There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from His." Now, William Hendrickson here comments that the Sabbath is not merely a day of rest in the sense that it is a cessation from work. It entails an awareness of being in the sacred presence of God with His people in worship. The day is an emblem of eternal rest. To those who trust in Christ's righteousness and sacrifice to salvation, the Sabbath points us to a reconciled and eternal life in Christ. It's important to note that the apostles, who were Jews, very much part of a seventh-day Sabbath culture in Israel, moved the day of rest and worship to the day of Christ's resurrection from the dead, the Lord's Day, or what is often referred to as the Christian Sabbath. The gospel accounts tell us that Christ rose on the first day of the week. Matthew 28. "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said.'" Shortly after this, Jesus met with the disciples on the first day. And 1 week later, on the first day of the week, he met with them again. John 20, verse 19. "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.'" Verse 26 of John 20 then says, "8 days later, his disciples were inside and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" And so Jesus is meeting with them on the first day of the week. He is establishing a new pattern. In Acts 2, the same pattern is also made by God the Holy Spirit, who is sent by Christ to us. He came on Pentecost, which was the 50th day after the Sabbath of Passover week, which would be the first day of the week. Acts 2, verses 1 and 4, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. When we look at the day of rest in the New Testament, we see that although the apostles would visit a Jewish synagogue on the seventh day, because that's where the people would be and where they were, the Christians would meet on the first day of the week. Acts 20 and 7, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul preached to them, intending to leave the next day, and he continued preaching until midnight. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come." And so, again, the first day of the week. We recognize in our gathering together on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the risen Savior and his day of resurrection. And we look to him for our new life in Christ, for the beginning of a new creation, of a new week, as it were, of a new life in him. The Westminster Confession, chapter 21, says, as to the law of nature, that in general, a due proportion of time be set aside for the worship of God. So in his word, by a positive moral and perpetual commandment binding all men in all ages, he hath perpetually appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which in Scripture is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. Third and finally, keeping it holy. The fourth commandment is really a positive thing, and it's put forth as a positive thing and a blessing. Now, Jesus says in Mark 2 and 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's given to us to be a blessing to us. With all of the busyness and the obligations of life, it's a gift to have a day set apart to focus more on the Lord and of the blessings that we have in Christ and to enjoy the fellowship of God's people. We have an amazing privilege of joining with God's people in worship of the one true God. We get to rest from our regular work schedule and to let others rest from their work as well. All of those things are very good and positive. I think that way too often people feel limited by what Scripture says you're not to do on Sabbath, and neglect the positive commands and blessings that point to the Sabbath itself being a blessing. Now, the Larger Catechism, number 117, tells us the Sabbath or Lord's Day is to be sanctified by a holy resting all the day, making it our delight to spend the whole time, except so much as to be taken up in works of necessity or mercy, in the public and private exercises of God's worship. So the question comes back, are we filling up the day with positive things, with public worship, with family worship, with private devotions, with Christian reading, with Christian fellowship, and even physical and mental rest from the burdens of the week? Are we performing acts of mercy as we think beyond ourselves as well? Are we positively taking advantage of the day that God has given to us? seeing it as a day in which not to do things, not to go to the mall, is good. I mean, there's that aspect of Sabbath keeping as well. But we're given the day so that we might be recharged in body and in spirit and grow in fellowship with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we taking positive advantage of all of those blessings that he gives to us in the Sabbath? Let's do that, and let's pray together. Lord God, we do thank you and praise you for the Lord's Day, for this day that we have to gather together to praise you, to thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. And we ask that as we seek to obey you and your word, that we would see the Sabbath not only in terms of prohibitions, but in terms of positive things that you give us and call on us to be and to do this day. May we be encouraged and strengthened and blessed by this day that you've graciously given to us to focus on you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.